Book of Colossians. We're on our eighth part of Colossians, and we're taking our time as we go through the series because it's so important that we have this as foundational to our understanding. Remember, the old phrase says, what you believe determines how you live. What you believe determines how you live. And Paul, an apostle, a father's heart, is writing to a group of people, probably of whom he had never met. There's a verse in the book that says, you've never seen me face to face. Paul was ministering 100 miles to the east. Pat, if you could put our familiar map up again, please. 100 miles to the east of Colossae is Ephesus. And remember, Paul was in Ephesus for 3 years, and he was preaching and teaching. And about this area and this time, the scripture declares, the whole of Asia heard the word of God. And there was a son in the faith who became a son in the faith, got saved under Paul's ministry. And his name was Epaphras. And he was from this area over, Pat, if you could use your pen there to point to it, Laodicea and Hierapolis and Colossae. This is a valley, a Lycos Valley in there, where he was from. And he most likely planted the church in Colossae, probably the one in Laodicea, and possibly over in Hierapolis as well. You recall about the 7 churches in Revelation to whom the letters were addressed and the messages from Jesus specifically were addressed. Laodicea is the one about whom he has nothing positive to say. And it's because in the scripture he declares, you are lukewarm. I would that you were cold or hot. I'll get that out. Cold or hot. And if you were one or the other, that would be good. I want to spew you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. Now, again, we've talked about this before, but that doesn't mean that he wants you to be lukewarm or wants you to be cold toward him. It's not that typical scenario. What was happening, again, just brief summary, up in Hierapolis, there was the hot springs that people would bathe in, and they felt there were medicinal purposes, and they built a large waterworks piping all the way over to Colossae, or to Laodicea rather, built piping all the way to Laodicea to get the hot water there. And you see nowadays the old pipes, you'll find remnants of them, and they're completely colluded with things that mineral deposits that just choked off the water. But it was hot water from Hierapolis. And then it was the ice-cold, snowy hills and mountains, if you will, around Colossae that would take water and make it beautiful and cool and refreshing. And it would give you a refreshing drink on a cold day. And piping most likely was then taken to Laodicea from Colossae. And by the time it got over the miles, cold water, by the time it got to Laodicea, was what? By the time the hot water got to Laodicea, it was what? So Jesus isn't saying, I want you to be cold, that's better. He's not saying that. He says, I want you to either be hot on fire for me so you can have medicinal purposes for people who are needy, or I want you to be like a cool, refreshing glass of water on a hot day that brings life to people. I want you to be like that, but you're neither. So I want to spew you out of my mouth. A related a topic that the people could clearly grasp because most of them, Laodicea was this fantastically wealthy banking center, etc., but they had no natural water supply, and when you drink it, you'd get nauseated. You wanted to spew it out of your mouth. That was because they were listening to a teaching in the area that was prevalent. In that day, there were teachers who were paid expositors who would go around from place to place, and most of the time in their speech making, they used the type of speech that was called persuasive speech. And they would incite their crowd to sign on to a direction. But when you look at antiquity and read your history, it didn't matter if it was truth or not, it was simply persuasive. And they were very persuasive. There were cults, there were religions before Christianity came to being, and these new believers who came out of some of those things were having trouble standing strong on faith in Jesus alone. They were taught all sorts of things. Jesus isn't the creator. Jesus isn't enough. You've got to add secret knowledge, the seed forms of Gnosticism. You have to have secret knowledge that only a few can get. And it wasn't knowledge based on intellectual pursuit. It was knowledge of occult experiences that would make you some of the elect who could then be saved. And that trickled through Epaphras when he went back to Paul, who was in a Roman jail cell, probably AD 62. Everybody had departed from him, but Epaphras, who had started this church, was like a son in the faith, and he goes and he struggles to find Paul, finally finds him, stands by his side, ministers to him, but brings Paul this report of shaking faith. And Paul, as a father in the Lord, says, we're going to strengthen these people. We're going to make sure they get strong again. And we're going to teach them some things that they hold on to and never let go. And church, it is so relevant for us today. We need to hold to the truth. Don't be shaken from it. Don't let it go, because there's a lot of winds blowing out there. A lot of philosophies blowing out there. And people want to do, and we'll talk about it this morning, syncretism. Can you say the word syncretism? Take a little bit of this and a little bit of that. A little bit of this and a little bit of that. And we'll put it all together and we'll call it truth. My truth, your truth, nothing but the truth. And it is not the truth. So Christianity is built on a foundation of Jesus Christ, Him being King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the one who was born, who took your sins upon my sins and your sins upon Himself, died, was buried, and rose again, and ever lives to pray for His saints. When you give your life personally to Jesus, He comes into your heart, radically saves and transforms your life. It's by faith, it's by grace you're saved, and there is the answer for all of life's issues, right? Amen. Now, you say to me, oh, come on, what's that got to do with nuclear war? Well, if everybody gets saved, there might not be people wanting to nuke each other. One heart at a time, right? He wants to change us. He wants you to be strong and solid. We're in an area where philosophies abound, church. We are in a time where people don't want to hear what you have to say about Jesus. They want to do their thing. We have every perversion abounding on earth happening right now, and I'm not afraid to say it straight to you as your pastor. I was reading just the other day about our Justice Department standing with the transgender movement so that little naked boys can run around in girls' locker rooms because that's their right. That's not their right. That's stupid. Come on, somebody say amen. If you ain't got the anatomy, you don't belong in that room. And what about the poor little girls that are going to be traumatized by you, some stupid, idiotic adult saying, oh, that's their right. Or older. We have lost common sense by throwing away the Word of God. See, he took to preaching. Well, that's only that much. You want me to continue? No. Anyway, the point is, Paul said, don't be shaken. Don't be shaken from your faith. Stand strong. Now, what we do is we want to minister the truth in love. You might have people this week. You might have people in your family who believe that. That's their right to believe that. But it's going to be more harmful in the long run. And it's not the truth. It's not how God created us to function. And common sense even tells us that. But we bring the truth in love. But church, we come in here. We learn. We grow. And we carry it out there and live it and walk it in love. Right? Amen. We come in here, we learn and grow, we go out there, live it, and love. Amen? Amen? All right, so let's go to Colossians. We've been 7 weeks on it. Now we're going to go to our 8th week. And what are the issues? Again, I'm going to try to take a little bit of time and go into what are the issues that are being dealt with here. I'm going to be in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 this morning. Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The name of the message is, you got it. Get it? Say it with me. You got it. Get it? All right. So what are the issues that are coming against the people in Colossae? As with all heresy, the heresies that were happening and being taught to them, it detracted from the person and the work of Jesus Christ. It sought to add to the work of Jesus, calling for your works instead of what Jesus did. How many in this room know that you are not big enough to take care of your own sins? We can change, we can grow, we can cooperate with God, but we have these weights on our shoulders and in our hearts until we know that Jesus has forgiven us and given us mercy. And that's what He's done. That's why He went to the cross. You don't have to bear that sin on your shoulders. You can't do enough good works to make yourself perfect. But that heresy, or part of the heresy, was to add to the works of Jesus. Secondly, it claimed to be human philosophy based on the tradition of men, the Greek form of dualism that was believed, was that all matter is evil and only that which is spirit was good. And we're in this human body, evil, and so whatever is right, we try to do whatever is right, and there's no consequence to sin because you can't do any good things in this form of body. And if, after all, if God is good and earth and natural things and our body is evil, well, a good God can't create something evil, and so God is not the creator. Jesus isn't the creator. This is all speculation stuff instead of on the clear word of God. Number three, contains certain Jewish or Judaistic elements, such as you got to be circumcised, or rabbinical traditions, or dietary regulations, or sabbatical festival observances. But it's not just the Pharisaical teachings that Paul dealt with in the book of Galatians, if you remember. This is mixed in with a native Phrygian and cultic variety with Eastern and Oriental mysticism thrown in. Was synchronistic. They also, number four, tried to do certain ascetic elements, and you fast for 40 days if you're going to control the flesh. There are elements of truth to that, but if I'm going to get saved by those works, I'll never make it. We'll never make it. We're not saved by those good works. Number five, the heresy confronting the Colossians seems to have included the worship of angels. And that's it's a pagan and mystical perspective on it all. God has given angels as ministering spirits for God's people. And thank God, maybe some of you have seen them. And I'm sure if you stopped long enough, most of you are grateful that you know you've had an angel taking care of you at some moment where some trauma could have happened in your life. Jesus is there, but you also know He's put angels to help watch over us. And I'm so grateful. Next, it contained some of the heresy that was coming against these people. It flaunted the exclusivity of mystery, secrecy, and superiority. There's a knowledge for just a few elect. And again, this became full-blown Gnosticism in the second and third century. As the word would indicate, Gnosticism, the word is related to Gnosis, or knowledge. But in this case, it's not knowledge gained through faith or through intellect. This is knowledge gained through mystical experience, occult knowledge, astrology, magic, open to those who had been initiated into the mysteries of their system. It's that kind of knowledge, and only a few can ever get that, and they're the really elect ones. Promised people a close union with God if they would achieve this spiritual perfection. Guys, if you listen with a current day ear, what do you hear? Same kind of things taught over and over again. As the old phrase goes, I think it's from Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. Paul counters all of this, by the way, brilliantly in the book of Colossians. But he says the gospel is open to everybody who wants to believe in faith in Jesus Christ. It's open to everybody. This secret mystery, this knowledge, is Jesus. And when you give your life to Him, everybody can receive this knowledge. Turn to each other and say, aren't you glad you're in everybody? Aren't you glad you're included? Aren't you glad? All right, so like today, as we apply some of this, like today. I'm just trying to give you a little more today about what was coming against these people. Like today, it was an eclectic thing. Jewish legalism, Greek philosophic speculation, Oriental mysticism with a Christian flavor or element. It wore the mask of Christianity. Now, can I ask you, how many of you think the Word of God is really preeminent in all of our churches nowadays? Come on, let's see the show of hands. How many think we have a biblically literate society anymore in America? So what we're left with, now listen, this is crucial, you guys. What we're left with, if we do not have the Scripture as our fundamental foundation of faith and practice, if we do not submit to the Word of God, then what you build your life on, the Bible tells us, is what? Shifting sands. Shifting sands. 20 years ago, 5 years ago, some of the things that are taught, believed on, and really demanded of right now were considered anathema. 30 years ago, 50 years ago, I'm not just trying to be old-fashioned. Some of the things that are practiced in our society would have gotten you arrested and flogged generations ago. And now we're looking at, that's normal. You can't say anything about that. Oh yeah, well, what's next? What's next? Is marriage going to be between, it should be between whoever, maybe a whole group of people. And nowadays, you have already seen the groups that want to say, I want to marry my sister. Well, what's next? After that, if that becomes normal, well, what's next? Maybe you should be able to marry your pet. That's what's next for some, and it's called bestiality, and it's a sin, and a wicked sin, and it produces confusion and chaos and uncleanness in society. Laws are written and created so there's no confusion and anarchy. What are we saying? Anarchy and confusion. We love people, but the Word of God is the platform of truth and our foundation. And when we kick the Bible out of our lives, then it's whatever I want to believe. And the shifts of winds take the sand there, and take the sand there, and take the sand there. And so Paul is saying, get it deep, get it strong, get it long, the Word of God. Like today, it claimed to have something for everybody, but it was a delusion. It was a satanic deception. At its heart, it was a combination of Judaism and paganism. It did not necessarily deny Christ. This is crucial. It did not necessarily deny Jesus. It just attempted to dethrone Jesus. That's huge. Because there is today. Oh, Jesus was a nice teacher. He was a good man. I'd like to, you have lots of people say, I'd like to be like Jesus. Well, there's only one way. You can't just read a little bit about him and try to just become like him. That's nice, but it's by surrendering to him that he begins to transform us. But the attempt is to dethrone him. It gives him a place, but just not the supreme place. Because what they taught was Jesus isn't sufficient. You've got to go beyond Christ to what they have to offer. How many religions do you hear that today? Oh, yes, there's Jesus and the New Testament, but then there's our book. Come on, someone say amen. Are you breathing?
Yeah.
Okay, so what are we taking a look at? Truth versus error. Truth versus error. The world today and the church today desperately needs the book of Colossians and the understanding. Lest you think he's just going on and on about this. Do you realize one of the main church leaders in Sweden right now, and it has told all of her churches that she leads, that you must take the crosses off of your church buildings. You take all the crosses off your church buildings because we don't want to offend people of other faith persuasions. Do you remember in the Bible where the Bible says the cross is an offense? Listen. We want people, it's like a lighthouse. You want people to come to the place of the cross where they find Jesus. But you don't want to offend people. Do you know, have you ever heard the word Chrislam? Chrislam? There's a huge movement in a lot of churches now where in your pew backs, what you find is a Bible right next to the Quran. Can I ask you the question? How many of you think that you can go into most mosques, you'll find a New King James Bible? No. No, it's not the same, you guys. We love people, and we love people of different faith persuasions. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So as Christians, we need to know what we believe and in whom we have believed, and then we reach out in love. Jesus is every other religion on the face of the planet doesn't have a leader who initiated it and then died and then rose again. On no other religion will that originating leader come and live in your heart, forgive you of your sins, set you free from guilt and shame and condemnation, give you peace and joy, set you in a family of people that will love you. The love that is found in Jesus Christ and in Christianity is found on no other religion on the planet. Don't be ashamed of him. Paul came to the Corinthians saying, I know nothing but Christ and him crucified. Okay? So Paul is saying, get it deep, get it strong, get it long. Don't let Jesus be dethroned in your life. Syncretism. The best from each religion. Develop my own religion. Jesus might be prominent in my religion, but he's not preeminent. Mysticism, legalism, Eastern religions, asceticism, man-made philosophies, Chrislam. Not denying Christ, but dethroning him. Paul lifts up Jesus without apology, and he reminds the believers that Jesus alone is the only creator, and Jesus is the Savior. You don't have to be part of a secret group to be let in. How many are glad you didn't have to show your card at the front door this morning? Now, if somebody asked you for a card this morning, that wasn't an assignment from us, okay? Can I have your business card? No, it's not that. The mystery is revealed. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's worthy of our praise. All right, so you got it. Get it? Next point. You got it. Get it? Turn to each other. You got it. Get it? Let's go to verses 1 through 3 of Colossians 2. So that's what they were facing. That's what was going on, and it still impacts us today. Colossians 2, 1 through 3, reading from the New King James. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. Do you understand a little more now about why? What a great conflict I have for you. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Out of the New Living, that first phrase says, I want you to know, literally, and it's true to the Greek, I want you to know how much I have agonized for you. Watch it out of the message up on the overhead there. I want you to realize that I continue to work as hard as I know how for you and also for the Christians over at Laodicea. Not many of you have met me face to face. That doesn't make any difference. Know that I'm on your side right alongside you. You're not in this alone. Say that again. You're not in this alone. Turn to each other and say that to each other. You're not in this alone. I want you woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know of God. Then you will have minds confident and at rest, focused on Christ, God's great mystery. All the richest treasures of wisdom and knowledge are embedded in that mystery and nowhere else. And we've been shown the mystery. You can't imagine how much joy must have rippled through these Gentiles, non-Jews, to know they weren't going to be second-class citizens. Because you can become a Jew, but you were always second-class citizens. And it must have rippled through the crowd. I don't have to try to get this secret knowledge I could never end up getting. I don't have to have this mystical experience. They told me I could never get it. You're telling me God loves me just the way I am. You're telling me I can come to Jesus, give him my life. You're telling me I can be forgiven. You're telling me I can have hope in life. You're telling me that when I die someday, I'll go to see Jesus and my family can come when they've surrendered to him and we'll meet up again. Are you really telling me, Paul, that that's what that means? And Paul is saying, you bet that's the truth right there. Hold on to it and get it strong. Don't let it go because Jesus loves you so much. You're going, me? Me? And Paul said, yeah, you. You look at me this morning, you say, I've done this and this and this, and you have no idea what I've done. He doesn't love me. And I can look at you this morning and say, oh, yes, he loves you so much. He went to the cross. He saw you through the corridor of time. And he said, Father, forgive him and her. They don't know what they're doing, but oh, God, I'm dying for him. I'm taking that sin. I'm going into the ground. I'll die. I'll be buried. But I'm coming out, and thank God, I'm praying for him still today. It's the truth. Hold on to it. Don't let it go. Paul is suffering in a jail cell. He says, I'm agonizing that you just get this. Get it deep. Get it strong. Don't let it go. These phony baloney teachers out there that want to steal your faith and your joy from you, they don't look out for your salvation. But I care for you, the church, and your eternity someday in Christ. Hold on to it. Don't let it go. It's that important. And Paul was beheaded because he taught that simple truth. And people are threatened by the love of Jesus. It's so important. You have Christians right now failing or choosing to not leave ISIS terrorist places, to do their best to bring Jesus to them, being beheaded, being killed and burned, because these sweet, simple people, in their last breaths, say Jesus loves you. And they want them to know. It's more than a philosophy. You see, part of why this is so important, and I'm just going to talk heart to heart for a moment. There's a huge mistake a lot of people have made through the generations. We reduce Christianity, instead of the person of Jesus who loves you so much, we reduce him to philosophy, or we reduce him to ritual. And either side is treacherously wrong. Because if Jesus only is a philosophy that affects your belief system, that's fine, but it won't hold you the next time you're tempted. Jesus is in the trenches with you. But if it's only reduced to ritualism, it becomes your works out of legalism. You do this, you do that, you'll be fine. But how many of you understand? You'll never do enough good works to be fine. You'll never get your head all together around all the right philosophies. Both are traps. And the reality is, it's all about Jesus. The gospel is a person, not a thing. It's all about Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's all about John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's all about him. It's all about him. Paul says, you'll have minds, if you'll understand this and get this, that are confident and at rest, focused on Christ. How do you think the people suffering for Jesus in these lands where genocide is happening against Christians, how do you think, even though fear and trauma is real and painful, and we should be praying for our brothers and sisters and supporting them as we can every single day, but ultimately their minds and hearts can be at peace because they know in whom they've believed and they know where they're going, focused on Christ. So what does he say? Because of these things, he says, you're not alone. I want you to encourage each other. Turn to each other. Say, I encourage you, my friend. I encourage you. How do you stand strong? Encourage each other. The Church of Jesus should be an encouraging place where you can come and cheer for each other and support each other. I used to work with young college students who were so bound up and so traumatized with their daily frustrations. And I would help them. I'd sit with them. And we had home care groups, maybe 10, 15 people in them. And I'd say, okay, now let's write down everybody's name. on a 3x5 card, take 3x5 card, write down everybody's name from our group on there. And they'd get that. And they say, now what do I do with it? I say, put that in your pocket. And they put it in their pocket. I say, now you take that out every single day and you pray for every single person on that list every single day. And you have a 15-step plan toward mental health, because your eyes will be off of you and onto supporting and encouraging the family of God. And that's how we should be with each other in the body of Christ. So encourage each other. Secondly, love each other, Paul is saying. You got a loving family where you can be encouraged. Some of you go through a lot of trauma during the weeks. And it's a good thing to come to the house of God together to be able to stand together and love each other. And remember, Jesus inside is the mystery. People didn't know what the mystery was, but Jesus, He was revealed as the Son of God, and He's the mystery. We give Him our lives. He comes inside, and now we've got Him inside as our Savior and our Lord, and He gives the full assurance of hope. He's Christ in you, the Bible says, the hope of glory. And then Paul concludes, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. Knowledge, good judgment. Wisdom, application of that good judgment. But it's not some secret body of truth you can never know. It's all in Christ. False teachers would claim to have a higher knowledge. No, all wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. And His treasures are available to every believer. Peace, love, joy, family, healing, and ministry, and reconciliation, and forgiveness. It's a big deal what you believe. Church, it's a big deal what you believe. Church, I said, it's a big deal what you believe. What you believe determines how you live. Stand strong and solid. Say it with me. Stand strong and solid. Colossians 2, verses 4 through 6. Colossians 2, verses 4 through 6. I said verses 1 through 5. I meant 1 through 6. Sorry. Verses 4 through 6. New King James. Now, this I say, Paul is writing, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I'm absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you've therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so what? Walk in Him. Out of the Message. I'm telling you this because I don't want anyone leading you off on some wild goose chase. Do you see what I'm saying now? When you read that phrase, you see a little bit more about what that meant. I don't want you going off on some wild goose chase after other so-called mysteries or the secret. I'm a long way off. True, he was in jail. You may never lay eyes on me, but believe me, I'm on your side, right beside you. I'm delighted to hear the careful, orderly ways you conduct your affairs, impressed with the solid substance of your faith in Christ. My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You've received Christ Jesus the Master. Now live Him. You've received Christ Jesus the Master, church. What do you do? Now live Him. Truth. Know in whom you've believed. Know what you believe. Paul says, don't let anybody beguile you with enticing words. A lot of sweet talk. A lot of oratory. He says here, I'm beholding your order. And in the Greek, the word order is a military term. And it means standing shoulder to shoulder. Your family. You encourage each other. Remember, when one or the other is hurting, we stand shoulder to shoulder, and no enemy can penetrate to come through to confuse and destroy when you're standing shoulder to shoulder. That's why gossip doesn't belong in the body of Christ. Someone say amen. That's why backbiting and sowing discord doesn't belong. You stop and you say, wait a minute. We're standing shoulder to shoulder. And if I got a problem with my brother or sister, I'll go to my brother or sister. But we're still going to stand shoulder to shoulder. Order. And the word steadfastness means to have a solid front, to literally be immovable. Immovable. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 15 verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. And the Colossian church, following this teaching, which is one of the most magnificent teachings on who Jesus is in the entire New Testament, this church had a reputation for steadfastness making it through these kinds of heresies. Now what? Come on, now what? It's got to be some huge thing. Now that you've got all this, Paul says, now, oh man, I've got a huge prescription of things for you to do. Now what do we do, Paul? We get him. He says, okay, just go live it. Now go live it. Go walk it. When Isis is at the door and wants to take off your head, rebuke the demon spirit of murder. But if your head's taken from you on this earth, you read about those who were beheaded in the book of Revelation who did not give up their faith. Pray, be diligent, support our brothers and sisters in Christ. When economic woes befall you, when health is hurtful or a disaster for you, and when trauma comes, or when people come and your kids say you're old-fashioned to believe this stuff, or your grandkids are wandering into wrong pastures, hold on to your faith, share your love and your faith with them. Don't give up. Don't be positioned away. Don't be condemned. Stand strong. Live it. He says, walk it. The walk in the Greek word is tread all around. Live. Deport yourself. Follow Him. What they really wanted to do was still the voice of Jesus and still the voice of the church. When Nero hatched a plan in his wicked depravity to destroy all of Rome, as much as he could, at least half of it, because he wanted to do a new building program, he lit on a plan, literally true in history, to burn the city and blame the Christians. And they put Christians on stakes as nightlights in his gardens at night and lit them on fire. And Peter writes to them, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which has befallen you. And Peter and Paul and these people who knew Jesus face to face said, you're in the trenches now, and this is real life. Don't think it's strange. Just know who's living inside of you. Just know what you believe. And don't give up, because you turn to the end of the book, and He wins. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of the Father. Church, I want you to know, Jesus loves you this morning. Right who and where you are. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
You got it. Get it?
Yeah.
Would you stand with me, please? As we close this morning, if you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, I urge you to do so. Come on up. There'll be people to pray for you. If you need healing in your body, there'll be a team of people to pray for you. If you have prayer needs, we love you, and those things that are concerning you and your hearts, there'll be people over here. Paula and Dean, would you lead the way for people in prayer this morning? And if you want to join with them, feel free to join with them to pray for folks this morning. We're here to do that because we believe God is good, isn't He? God is good. And all the time,
God is good.
The Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are so incredible, and we love you so much. Now bless each one who's come here this day in Jesus' name. They all said,
amen.
Would you raise your hands for the blessing, please? I'm going to read a couple of verses for you this morning. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace. In Romans 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Be released to a victorious day of joy in the Lord. God bless you.